It's really a privilege to be able to welcome those of you who are joining us here at Arlington Woods for this Easter celebration, whether this is the first time that you have been here or whether you've been a long-time Arlington Woods person, AW person, and you have come often. Those of you who are joining online, I know that there are. I saw at least 19 of you who had certainly checked in. Whether you're still with us, I'm not sure. Maybe you wait until the pastor comes on and then you... whoosh, so glad that you're here, those of you who decided to stay on to be a part of this. This is an opportunity to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a time for us to think about and talk about new beginnings and to talk about fresh starts. What comes to mind when you think of Easter? I need participation.
Chocolate.
Thank you for that. What else do we think of?
Family.
Family? The cross?
Eggs?
Thankfulness? Beautiful. Awesome. I'm sure some of you have warm feelings, warm memories of when you were growing up. Your mom, your dad, someone bought you a beautiful little dress that you put on as a little girl, wore that. You bought maybe new clothes that you had opportunity to open up. Yes, and there was chocolates, and there was all those kinds of things. Maybe she sang some Easter hymns or some Easter songs. Perhaps decorating of Easter eggs was part of your family. You know, I heard this morning that parents went and hid eggs on their kids, and they think that there's still some out there somewhere. Eventually, they will find them. It may be in the summer when it really gets hot. But they will find them. Have you ever wondered what bunny rabbits and Easter eggs have to do with the resurrection of Jesus? Have you ever wondered about that? The short answer is nothing. Nothing. There was a pastor who had the children at the front, and he was getting ready to send them downstairs, and he wanted to ask them the question on Easter morning. He said, "Children, today's Easter Sunday. What is it that we celebrate on Easter?" One little girl just put up her hand. She was so cute. And she said, "I love my mommy, and that's what we do." Pastor said, "Well, you know, that's very nice, Susie, but that's not what it is. That's celebrating Mother's Day." And then the little boy, he thought, you know, just should I put my hand up or not? And so the pastor sort of encouraged him. So the little boy put his hand up and said, "Okay, so Johnny, what do you think Easter's all about?" And well, it's a time of year where I get to thank God for giving me the things that he's given me. There's so many wonderful things that he's given me, and I get to thank God for that. And the pastor, sort of forlorn, looked at him and said, "Well, thank you very much, but that's not what Easter's about. That's more like Thanksgiving." So he went again and he said, "So what is Easter all about?" And so the children were a little bit silent, and then finally a little girl from the back, she put up her hand and she said, "Well, Easter's the time when Jesus went to the cross and he died and they put him in a tomb." And the pastor, he was excited, the fact that they actually knew the answer. And then she went on to say that Jesus, when he comes out of the tomb, if he sees his shadow, he goes back in again, and it's winter for three more weeks. It's obvious that some of you have never heard that one before. I love Easter eggs as much as the next guy, but as we have the opportunity this morning, we are reflecting on what Easter is all about. The story that you heard read earlier speaks to this. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we learn that God made this world perfect. He made it beautiful. And he filled it with life. The first people he created experienced unbroken fellowship with their Heavenly Father and this intimacy with God. It reminds me of the journey to the cross that we had. And how when we started, that's what we were thinking about. The book of Genesis talking about what it was when God came to this world and created this world for us. And how we journeyed all through and ended up at communion. Easter is this time for us to think about that and to think about this perfect world. And into this perfect world and this perfect relationship between God and his creation comes Satan, who comes and lies and lures humanity away from God, the God that they loved. And their sin breaks this relationship with God. But you know what? God never gave up on us. And that's why this morning, many of us can sing with this extra exuberance as we think about what it is that Jesus has done for us. It's an exciting time for us. If it isn't that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then we have no faith. Our faith is dead. It's no longer there for us. Scriptures tell us that God made a promise that one of Eve's descendants would someday crush the head of Satan and restore this intimacy between humanity and God. And many of you would know that that descendant is Jesus. That descendant, that one that made things perfect, was Jesus. He lived the perfect life that we could never live and then died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. His friends took his body and buried it in a stone tomb. Jesus dies and is buried, and you know the rest of the story. And when Jesus' friends return on the first Easter morning, they found the tomb empty. Jesus rose from the grave. Now, for a minute, can you imagine this conversation between Joseph of Arimathea and Pontius Pilate? Pontius Pilate, the one who sentenced Jesus to die, asked Joseph of Arimathea, I don't get it, buddy. You're one of the richest men around. You paid all of this money to have a stone tomb carved out of the rock for you and your family. And you want to give it to Jesus? Joseph of Arimathea looked at him and said, it's only for the weekend. It's only for the weekend. Can you think for just a moment of how assured, that's not a biblical account, by the way. I just imagine in my mind's eye of how confident Joseph was in terms of this relationship with God, that with Jesus, that one day Jesus would do what he said he would do. We are here this morning because Jesus did exactly what he said he would do. He told his disciples several weeks, and he was preparing them throughout his ministry for this time when he would rise again from the dead. He said, they're going to take me, they're going to kill me, they're going to place me aside for 3 days, but I want you to know that I'm going to rise again from the dead. That, my friends, is good news. Because since he rose, you too shall rise. Jesus, this time, Easter is a time of new beginnings and fresh starts. This passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning is about a couple of disciples who were walking a lonely road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And this is happening sometime after the resurrection. Their story is told in Luke chapter 24, which we heard read earlier. Verses 13 to 16 in the New Living Translation. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. The story that we will hear is the story of transformation. Who needs a transformation? Who needs new life? Jesus and the Holy Spirit breathes new life into us this Easter season. Begins with a broken heart. Has your heart ever been broken? Is your heart broken this morning? Here's two people. They have just been witness to the loss of their dear friend. They don't know what's happened. And they're leaving the place of the crime, and they're walking away from that center, 7 miles away. They had committed their lives to Jesus. They had put their hope in him. They cashed out and cashed in with Jesus. It's all in. I'm all in with you. Others may walk away, but I will not walk away from you. I will follow you wherever you go. They were all in. They had put their faith in him. All their hopes and their dreams rested in a man they believed was God in the human flesh. But then they saw him die. And then they would see as they put him in the tomb and they sealed the tomb. The ground beneath the old rugged cross was tinged red with the blood of God. To say that these guys were discouraged is an understatement. They were devastated. They were heartbroken. And when Jesus joins them on the road to Emmaus, he asks, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" And immediately the Bible says they stop short, sadness written on their faces, and why not, as they tell this stranger all about Jesus. Couldn't contain it. Jesus was so evident in them that it was like perfume, like these beautiful flowers that someone's going to miss. One person anyways. This beautiful fragrance. And they tell the stranger all about Jesus, the miracles he did, and the death that he suffered, and they finally conclude, "We had hoped that he was the one. We had hoped that he was the one." Anytime that you start talking about hope in the past tense, you know that you're in trouble. A soul without hope is like a body without food. Can you identify with these disciples this morning? Do you know what it's like to think of hope as a thing of the past? Do you walk a lonely road with sadness written across your face? Is that your plight this morning? Do you walk this road alone? Do you feel like that? We have all kinds of hopes and dreams. The hope that we might meet the perfect man or woman and get married, or the hope that the marriage that we have will be able to be rekindled. Some of us hope desperately to have a child, while others hope that their adult children might finally turn their lives around and come home. And they wait with the light on in their home so that one day that they would find their way home to the Father. And they continue to pray and they continue to hope. We long to be healed of some diseases or disability. Or we hope that we can break the cycle of addiction that keeps dragging us down. Just when we think that we've got it and we got it licked, it takes us down again. And when those dreams go unfulfilled or our hopes are shattered, it's discouraging and sometimes devastating. It's like a broken heart. It's like someone reached right inside of our chest and turned it, and it breaks within us. There's something that I want to point out to you in this passage of Scripture. Even though they didn't realize it yet, Jesus was walking that road with them, listening to their sorrows. No matter how discouraging or depressing life gets, no matter how hurt or heartbroken we are or lonely that we feel, Jesus won't make you walk that road alone. I want you to know this morning that you may not see it, but he walks alongside of you. He came alongside of his followers and he walked with them in their sorrow, and he'll do the same for you. As they walked with Jesus, talking to him and listening to him, their broken hearts were transformed into burning hearts. Listen to the passage. As they walked, the Bible says, then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. They had 7 miles where they're walking. 7 miles. Not kilometers, friends. 7 miles. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Isn't there something, those of us who have turned our lives to Jesus Christ, that time when we said yes, there was something that beated in our hearts that we could not deny. And we said yes. And it burned within us. And we couldn't shake it. And we said, the world behind me, the cross in front of me, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And so that's what happens as they're listening to him. There's something as he opens up the Word of God that the Word pierces their hearts. And there's this burning sensation that they have. Jesus reintroduces these disciples to the Old Testament. Perhaps Jesus starts in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, with the first promise of the Redeemer. And then he traced that promise through the Scriptures. He may have lingered in Genesis 22, which tells us of Abraham who lays down his son on the altar. I'm sure that he stopped at the Passover and the Levitical sacrifices, all the things that needed to be done in order for them to be clean, to be made right with the Holy God. I'm sure that he stopped there. And then he talked about the tabernacle ceremonies. And then I'm sure that he talked about the bronze serpent in the wilderness, that if they would just look upon the children of Israel, they'd just look upon that bronze snake, they would be saved from the snake bites. I'm sure that he talked about the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. The key to understanding the Bible is seeing Jesus on every page. As you take a look and as you open up the Bible, and as I'm reading the Scriptures in Judges now for this year, I am seeing again Jesus, not only in the New Testament, but he is written all the way from the Old Testament. You just see him. He comes to life. He just sort of peeks in behind this phrase and in behind that passage. He just says, hello, I just want you to know that I'm here. When the world would say it is all done, Jesus says, I'm only just beginning. When they say it's finished, he says, I've only just started. So he opens up these passages of Scripture to them. I just want you to know that as you open up the Word of God and as it becomes a part of you, then your heart will burn as well. No matter what struggles you're facing, you can open the Bible and you're going to see Jesus there. He'll minister to you through his Word. When I went to college, I had only been dating Julie for about 6 months. We had our regular phone calls. Usually lasted quite a while. My parents were quite upset with me because I would always send the charges to them while I talked to her. My mom said, I don't know why it is. You know, you always phone her, but you never phone me. So a couple times then I just said, you know, can I reverse the charges, send them to my mom, and I'll talk to her just to keep her in the loop. I digress. So we had these phone calls, but the other interesting part about that relationship with my wife was these letters that we used to send back and forth to each other. And you know, I would read them and reread them. I don't know whether I can say this or not, but she would put her perfume on those letters. Go ahead and say, aw. Just to make her feel good. So I would have those letters, and they'd be on top of my desk and so on. And I would read them, and I would read them over and over. I was always excited to go to the campus post office to see if I received any news from home. I could actually smell the letter if it was there long before I ever got there. You know, other mail was important to me. But those letters were the most important. Why was that? Because I was in love with the author, and the author was in love with me. The Scriptures are God's love letters to you. And he draws us this Easter season to come in and to know the Savior just like he is meant to be known. More than just a head knowledge. Anybody can just read the Scriptures. But this morning, do you actually love the author? Do you love who he is? When we treat the Bible like a textbook and just study it and study it and study it, it can lead to knowledge. But when we see it as a love letter by Jesus, about Jesus, it will lead towards a burning in our heart that cannot be shaken. Does anybody else believe it? First, Jesus opened the scriptures, then he opened their eyes, and their burning hearts became buoyant hearts. Buoyant hearts. When they finally arrived at Emmaus, Jesus acted as though he was going to go on alone. But the two disciples begged him to stay on and to stay with them for the night. They didn't even know who the stranger was. All that they knew, that their hearts were burning and they wanted this blessing to last, because there was something that was happening there in this exchange. And sometimes at the beginning of our relationship, as we're trying to figure out this God thing, Jesus begins to show up and he begins to talk to us and our heart begins to patter a little bit. And it may take us a little while to be able to understand it and say yes to him. And maybe some of us this morning are in that place. But as they have this dialogue that's going on, they're excited, and they say, no, listen, we really want for you to stay. And the Bible says, suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment, he disappeared. Luke chapter 24, verse 31. He was there one moment, and then he was gone. It didn't matter how quickly he vanished. What mattered was that they had seen, and they had been with Jesus. First, they saw him in the scriptures, then they saw him face to face, and seeing Jesus made all the difference. Seeing Jesus transformed their broken hearts into buoyant, exuberant, joyful hearts. Out of the challenge of starting at being broken, they went to burning, and then they were buoyed up. They were propped up because of what Jesus had meant to them. The Bible says, and within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They had traveled, just finished traveling 7 miles. I'm sure they packed a little bit more food. They packed some water, and they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They were so full of hope and happiness, they couldn't sit still. It's almost like they had Easter bunny chocolate. There was this infusion of excitement that was hit upon them, and it was Jesus himself. The promise of who Jesus was, that Jesus Christ was indeed alive, what they had hoped. And they raced back the 7 miles. They got back there and they told the other disciples. Meanwhile, the other disciples in Jerusalem had a similar experience. Jesus appeared to them as well. And the Bible says the disciples were overjoyed and they saw the Lord. When they saw the Lord, John 20:20. Seeing Jesus makes all the difference. And in that moment, from hopelessness and depression, they went to joyful, thrilling, overflowing exuberance. Seeing Jesus filled their hearts. These two disciples, traveling a long road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, along with other Jesus followers, experienced a fresh start. As we think about this Easter season, as we think about why we're here this morning, it can all be a lot of dancing around and hype and action and activity. But unless there's something that's happening in our heart, then we're missing the real reason for this season, which is Jesus Christ and him being raised from the dead. It might be that, he doesn't appear to us physically, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. But if you'll ask him, he will show up in your heart. He will show up in your mind. He will begin to speak to you. God created us. He designed in us this homing device. That is this homing device towards home, towards the Father. And it's seasons like this where I think the beeper, the beacon, the whatever you want to call it is calling, and he's reaching out to you this Easter season. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, if you search for him with all of your heart, you'll find him. You'll find him. You can see him in the pages of Scripture. You can see him in the bread and in the wine. You can see him in the lives of those who worship him with radiant faces. You can see him in the cross and in the empty tomb. And when you see Jesus, then he will make the difference. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads. This morning, as we conclude this portion of our time together before we sing, it very well may be that you're here this morning and You've wondered about relationship with God. You've wondered about Jesus. You've wondered about how this Easter thing works. And maybe just a little bit of explanation this morning has piqued your interest. So I'm just wondering, wherever you are this morning, if you desire for this relationship with God, you desire for change in your life because the way you're headed is not where you want to be. Maybe you grew up in the church, maybe you've been a long time away, maybe it's been that you haven't had relationship in the church at all. You weren't raised in the church. But this morning that can change. This morning can be the time when you acknowledge that there is this separation between you and God. The things just don't seem right. And in this moment you can ask God. You can ask God to enter into your life. That's why Jesus came. To bring us new life. To tell God you're sorry for the way things are and that you want a new life. Start there. My prayer for you, and if that's your heart, is that you would simply pray, "Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus," just like those disciples as they walked along the Emmaus Road. I want to see Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you that your desire always, when you sent Jesus to the cross to die, was to make a way for us to have a right relationship with you, the Father. So help us to accept this story for what it is and to walk by faith, trusting in Jesus all the way. Amen.